Hey, what's up, guys? For week 3 of Family Game Review's weekly podcast, we're going to cover Fast RMX, Thumper, and Mario Kart Deluxe 8. Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Michael from Family Game Review, and for week 3 of our weekly podcast, we are going to cover Fast RX.
RMX.
Thank you, Camille. Fast RMX, Thumper, and Mario Kart Deluxe 8 for the Nintendo Switch. Now, Thumper is available on the PC, VR, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and now the Switch. So we got a chance to cover the Switch version. But as always, I have Miss Candy Corn. I think she's going to stick with that forever.
I love this script.
I know, Candy Corn agrees. So let's get into it. What I want to talk about today is why these racing games for Nintendo Switch actually did real well. All three did very well. Mm-hmm. Camille and I got a chance to play some of these after the playtest, and we got two of the three reviews up. And before we go any further, because we do independent game reviews, we are not going to do a review on Mario Kart 8. And the reason why being is because there's so many reviews out there from GameSpot, you know, IGN, all the major distribution lists.
And then combine that with all the Twitch video and, well, I don't know if you can Twitch on Switch.
You can. There is a way to Twitch on Switch by using a capture card and, you know, going online live. There's kind of some trickery to it.
But let's just say that Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is not exactly one of those independent titles where you have to hunt and peck to get, you know, footage or information about the game. So we'll talk about it, but we're not going to do, you know, yet another Mario Kart review.
Exactly. I mean, I love Mario Kart. I thought it was a great game. We'll go into that in a few moments. But, you know, understand that both Fast RMX and Thumper will be on our sites after this podcast, but Mario Kart 8 will not. Candy Corn.
Candy Corn agrees.
Oh, dear God. It's going to be one of those days, guys. Light them if you got them. So, let's get into our first game that we did a review on, Fast RMX. It is rated E for everyone. It is available right now on the Switch through the digital store. I didn't see a copy in the local GameStop we went to. They did say there is a brick-and-mortar version of it or a retail version. But I did not see one, but it would probably be because they were sold out. But it is available retail. I recommend getting a digital download for two reasons. Number one, those little SD cards for the Nintendo Switch are small. And number two, it's easier just to have a 1 gigabyte file on your internal drive or an external if you followed our other podcast and got a micro SD.
This is true.
Candy Corn agrees.
Indeed.
So, the game itself, if you ever played, like, you know, for the older gamers that are listening, if you ever played the F-Zero series, which I love personally, it is a reminiscent of the F-Zero series. The only catch to this is your booster or shield, depending on how you use the energy, if you pass through, like, a light blue patch or a gold patch, if your shield is the same color as the patch, you not only get the boost, but you also get more into your shield. We'll go into that in a few seconds. But it's an interesting dynamic because as you're racing, you got to switch back and forth. And I thought it was phenomenal. Now, a little disclaimer here for today's podcast. All games, we're going to be talking about are racing games. So I'm not going to talk about what is a racing game and how it differs from the other. But Fast RMX was a great title because, again, if you're an F-Zero fan, you're going to love this game. And it was fun. The levels themselves were different and diverse. There's online play, from what I saw, but the online play online is very limited, which I was kind of shocked about when we did our play testing. If I remember correctly, how many people we found? Maybe one or two online?
Yeah.
It was real disappointing, and I was like, wow, for such a great game like this, there was not that many people playing online. And there are some trickery to it. Trickery. I don't know what the trickery.
Trickery.
Trickery. See, there we go. Thank you, Candy Corn. So, the races are very tight-knit. Depends on how you go. There's about, I think, over a dozen and a half, about 18 to 20 different types of racers you can use. All have their special traits like balance, boost, top acceleration, things that you would expect in a racing game. But I loved it. I actually thought it was a great game. Like, Camille, what did you think?
All around, it's pretty hard to be wowed by Eraser because there are so many. I think that one of the best things that you can say about Eraser is, A, that it was done right, that the controls are good, that there's, you know, things to engage you, that there's an increase in the level of difficulty throughout the game, and also that there's something different about Eraser. And with Fast RMX, the color aspect of it, you know, how you have to switch tracks according to the color, really did take it to another level. It was a hit with our special needs testers.
Yeah, that was very true.
And other than that, it was just an all-around great game. There's absolutely nothing offensive about it. Totally family-friendly. And a very easy pick-up and play game. And there's, you know, there's not much more that you can say great about a racing game, because at the end of the day, it is just a racing game. That's all you're going to do. I mean, you know, you're not going to divert to a side mission and save the world. It's a racing game. But Fast RMX, it was done well. It was, you know, as far as developmental skills, you know, definitely some basic cognitive there with the colors and the changing of the tracks and knowing the patterns. So I thought it was a great game.
I agree. I remember during the review itself, when Camille and I were playing it after everybody else reviewed it and we looked at everyone's notes, one of the things that stood out to me was the fact that younger gamers that we had in our test never heard or seen F-Zero.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually looked at F-Zero and said, oh, look, they copied Fast RMX. And it was kind of like the inner kid in me wanted to punch them and take their bike and run away with it. Because how dare you say that they copied F-Zero? But, you know, Fast RMX was really done well. And again, until E3 is, you know, coming here and gone, and Nintendo makes the official announcement of an F-Zero coming to the Switch, this is probably the best thing you could have next to F-Zero for anyone that is a futuristic racing fan. And I highly recommend it. I believe we gave it an 8 in our review, and I was very happy with it. I was very shocked of how happy I was going to be with it.
It was a good game because for a racer, it really did give you something new and fresh.
Yes, I totally agree. Yeah. So with that being said, we're going to go to the second game that we had on our list. And
Thumper.
Yeah, Thumper. It was funny. I don't want to share the story here that I was telling Camille about Thumper and VR, but
let's just say both young and old alike really, really enjoy Thumper.
Yes, and Thumper is, if you took, like a couple of weeks back, we did Arrow and how Arrow was like a music rhythmic game where mm-hmm. you have to follow the path and, you know, shoot enemies and then it goes with the music and so forth. Thumper is somewhat similar, but it's on a rail. You're a space beetle and you're racing on a rail and you kind of have to match the movements of the beetle to what's going on the screen. And we're going to have a video clip in our review, like a 30-second clip, so you can mm-hmm. take a look. Imagine playing Rock Band, where you have to follow with the rhythmic and everything, you know, with the notes and so forth, with the guitar or bass or the drums. That's kind of very similar to what Thumper was. But I'll say this, the graphics in the game are haunting. I put this in my review, how psychedelic and trippy they were. And it was a great treat to see.
The graphics were fabulous. I would say this, if by any chance you are very sensitive to light patterns, fast moving lights, any sort of epileptic disorder, do take caution before adding Thumper to your digital library. However, if you do not suffer from any of those conditions, Thumper is amazing. It's not just the visuals. It is, if you can imagine Pink Floyd being family friendly, a And you can imagine a Pink Floyd album cover coming alive and turning into a racing game. That's sort of what Thumper would be like. And, you know, you older parents out there, you know where I'm coming from. No, but what I mean is, you know, it's funny because we reviewed Arrow. And Arrow just truly blew my mind. It was the first game I had ever seen to break the third wall, or the fourth wall. I'm not sure. It broke a wall. Where before, you know, video games, because of their digital nature, when it came to developmental skills, cognitive skills, sensory skills, you could never really touch on the physical. Because of the fact that it's a video game, Arrow broke that wall. And then lo and behold, a couple weeks later, we see Thumper. And Thumper does as well. Now, Thumper is not quite as ambient, I would say, in the music. It's definitely more,
I would say, like garage sounding, like trance, not trance, like more of garage techno, but it's no vocals in the game. That's surprising. Right.
It's more of an industrial,
yes,
type of music, if you happen to be familiar with that term, but it is instrumental. So there's absolutely nothing that could be offensive, but once again, we have a rail type of shooter, but the main difference is Thumper is almost entirely about the percussion, whereas Arrow was both the harmony, the melody, and the percussion. Thumper is more really about the beats.
Yes. If when you are in the game, there's like the controls, number one, the controls are very simple. The controls, you just have a button to do the jump, and then you have to grind the rail left or right. I don't want to get too much into the spoiler aspect, but, you know, there's one or two more things that you could do in the game. You'll see it later on. But I will say this. The controls are easy, very easy and friendly to pick up and play. The game is not as easy as someone would expect it to. We had two playtesters that were playing the game, and both of them that are veterans at Rock Band and Guitar Hero respectively had a very difficult time playing Thumper because of how fast Thumper moves.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons, actually, that I wanted to clarify and say, only because there is one common thread between Arrow and Thumper, do not be under the impression that they are same or similar. Two totally different games, different feelings, different experiences. Thumper is truly sort of a beast of its own, and it's a lot more, what would you say, Mike, challenging? It's a lot more.
It is a lot more like, I personally, because we have it on the Switch, but it's available on the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and the PC, and VR. And when you see the video on our site, on our review, imagine this in VR. I mean, that's all I gotta say. But it was a challenge even for myself. I don't like to use the word getting frustrated with it, but I was getting more frustrated at myself saying, hey, I'm someone that's really good at Guitar Hero, Rock Band, DJ Hero.
And shooters
in general. But because the game's not a shooter, it's more of a rail racer, how I call it.
Like, true, yeah.
I felt, some of the testers we had testing felt that, hey, wait a minute, I'm good at Rock Band. Why can't I be good at this? And the reason why is, in Rock Band, the beats per minute, or how the notes come down the highway, is a little bit slower than where Thumper's. You may be on a track for 30 seconds and nothing's going on, and then all of a sudden, bam, it hits you. You got to do one motion and another motion, and then grind the rails, and then you got to time your jumps right to land on the note so you could do your boss battles. And again, I don't want to give away what happens, but it is very unique. But it is a challenging game. So if you have gamers in your gaming family that do get frustrated if something becomes too challenging, this may be something that you want to kind of like as much as I personally hate it, because we gave it a 9, kind of pass up because of the fact of the difficulty level. There is no adjustment of difficulty. There's no hand holding. You have to discover everything on your own from jump.
Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful game. I think one of the things that makes it more difficult, and it's not an inappropriate difficult, it's not like games where characters are OP'd or overpowered. It was just that the sound part of Thumper was a little bit more random, whereas in Arrow, in Guitar Hero, in Rock Band, it's all according to a song. So you become accustomed to the rhythm, you immediately get a feel for the song, so you know where your controls need to be in order to follow that beat or that melody or whatnot. Whereas Thumper, it keeps you on your toes.
Yes, and one advice I could give you that a fellow gamer gave to me when we were talking about this before the podcast is, if you hear the background music, that would be the best clue to have to know when to slide, when to jump, when to do everything that you need to do. Everything is in rhythm in the game, from beginning of the song to the next level and so forth. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a challenging game, but this is something we honestly say is something you don't want to pass up.
And we didn't have any problems with it with our special needs testers. Actually, they didn't have... It's funny, we get a lot of parents, usually their first question is, will this be too difficult for my child? And we laugh and we usually say, well, chances are they'll get it faster than everyone else. With Thumper, it's one of those games where there is a pattern, there is... You know, there is a logic behind it. You just have to figure that out. It's not as easily evident as it is in the other games that we mentioned. But once they really get the hang of it, they'll love it. Yeah.
Exactly. The game is rated E through 10. However, we kind of disagree and agree with it. We kind of mezzo with the rating because there's nothing violent about the game. There is some scary imagery that the younger gamers may get afraid of at first, but nothing equivalent to watching a Disney movie, I personally say.
I would agree wholeheartedly. You know, if anything, the visuals that are quote-unquote scary, they're not even actual characters. It's, like we said before, a Pink Floyd album cover. It's more so just shapes, and they do a phenomenal job. Thumper did a phenomenal job at using the animation, the artistic elements, to really add to the sensory aspect of the game.
Exactly. And so if you guys see it through, you know, the PlayStation Network, Xbox One Store, you know, on Steam, or even the Nintendo Switch eStore, you know, definitely check it out. Third and final game we're going to talk about today is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Now, this is a game that was out on the Wii U, and it made its reappearance on the Switch. We were lucky enough to pick it up on opening day, and I have to say this much. If you are a fan of Mario Kart in any shape, from the old Super Nintendo version to the GameCube, the 64 version, the Game Boy Advance, Wii U, the Wii, you're going to love Mario Kart. We had a blast here in the office. You know, there may have been a fight or two over somebody throwing a banana peel or a turtle shell. We're not going to go into that, as this is a family podcast. But let's just say that Mario Kart, Nintendo is always, when it comes to their first party titles, they always do a phenomenal job, and I was very happy with it. Now, the game is rated E for everyone. It does have a multiplayer, and believe it or not, it has an online play. Now, when we did do the online play, we did run into some lag at first, but because it was our Wi-Fi signal. But once we got past that hurdle, it was smooth sailings. Again, parents, if you're going to allow your children to play online, understand, until Nintendo gets their online chat configurations done, and this fall, from what they're saying, where voice chat will be done through a smart device such as a tablet or a phone, we didn't run into any type of issues with questionable things online. But once this feature does become available for all Switch users, please use caution and or monitor your younger gamers' activity online. just because it is a Nintendo title doesn't mean that it's still not immune from everything else on the internet.
And I personally feel that that's one of the reasons, probably, I'm saying probably, that's one of the reasons that the Switch, if you want, let's say you're on a multiplayer game online and you want to chat, you have to download an app and chat through a smartphone. A lot of people are saying that this is a big inconvenience, but from the mom's point of view, from the dad's point of view, I can sort of understand why they did this, because if your child is too young to own a smartphone or have possession of a smartphone, then they're probably too young to be hearing some of the stuff that happens online. And so my suspicion is that Nintendo just removed that variable by saying when you're old enough to have a smartphone, you're old enough to chat while you game.
And I kind of don't agree with Nintendo doing that, because there are a lot of older gamers. And to be honest with you guys, almost everyone I know that bought a Switch is probably in their 30s, and they all probably work at GameStop. So, you know, that being said, and I love the guys there and the gals, but I haven't ran into many people that own the Nintendo Switch that is under the age of 25. And, you know, but that's another topic for another day. But getting back to Mario Kart, if you have the Amiibo, you know, figures laying around the house, not all of them work, but like some of the more major ones, like Samus from Metroid, Luigi, and so forth, you'll get costumes in the game. Multiplayer was phenomenal. The online racing was great. The courses are fantastic, especially Rainbow Bridge and the other ones that they reintroduced from the older titles. They look really good. And I'm very happy that Nintendo, you know, went in this direction. If we did a review on this, I would honestly give it about a 9, 9.5, you know, because of what I saw. Now, I'm going to finish up a little bit here. I'm going to turn it over to Camille to give the family, you know, thoughts on this. But I would say if you guys have the $60, and I don't agree with Nintendo's pricing now, how they're pricing everything as everything else, but it is worth to pick it up at $60. Now, for parents that are on a budget, which we all are, it's probably best to wait for a sale maybe around summertime, maybe even around the holidays when they have the Black Friday sales before Christmas or so forth. It's probably best to wait till then. It's not a title compared to having Thumper and Fast RMX. I would say unless you really have to have it, I would say wait.
And can I jump in and say why? As far as Mario Kart 8 Deluxe goes, there's no doubt it's a great game. It is very family friendly. It's a lot of fun for the kids. It's a very safe game, but it's not $60 great. And the reason I say that is because all three games on this podcast got either an E for Everyone or an E10. Okay, that's a pretty across the board saying that all three titles that we've covered today in this podcast are pretty darn family friendly. However, with Fast RMX and with Thumper, young and old, like I said, will be intrigued by this game. Whereas Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, you're going to find, for the most part, your younger gamers. Would you agree, Mike?
Younger to like maybe teenage or people that have grown up playing Mario Kart, like someone like myself.
Right. Or we have a friend who loves Mario Kart, but it's because he has grown up now for
all his life, actually. You know,
a couple decades being so devoted to the series. But let's say that you are, as Michael said, you know, parents on a budget. One thing that I'm always adamant about from the parental aspect is gaming investment. When you build a digital library, you're investing. And so from which title are you going to get the most mileage? And yes, I just made that pun because we covered racing games.
And I agree with that.
And with Fast RMX and Thumper, you'll get them much more inexpensively, and they will appeal to a wider audience. That's not taking anything away from Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. It's just saying that it's a lot more expensive for a much younger target demographic.
Agreed. And Fast RMX and Thumper, respectively, were $19.99 each on the Nintendo store. So that's something else to keep in mind, that for the price of Mario Kart, granted it is a Nintendo first-party title, you could pick up two fantastic titles and still save $20. And one other thing that we ran into too, was when we played multiplayer, it's probably best to play multiplayer if you are going to pick up Mario Kart from the TV screen and not the tablet screen, because the tablet proves to be a little bit smaller. Now, on road trips is a different story. And another thing that we ran into was the Nintendo Joy-Con sizes and extended play. These things will kill your hands, people. I am telling you. Camille?
I agree. And the fact is that we took the Nintendo Switch to a family physician of over half a century. He first set up shop in 1959, and he looked at the Switch, he inspected it, and he determined that there was nothing wrong with the design of the Switch. It was a perfectly safe design. However, sort of like hair color, they say even if you've had safe hair color before, you may still have a reaction. Well, even if the design is safe, it doesn't mean that it's ideal for everyone. And Mike, you've got some big hands, and it can cause some cramping.
Yes, it has, unfortunately. But it's not saying it's not a bad game. It's a fantastic game.
Oh, no. It just means that, get a controller and all your woes are solved.
Exactly. So that will bring us to an end for our podcast. We're trying to keep these short, like within 28 minutes or so, because I know your time is valuable. We thank you guys so much for coming in every week. And again, any questions that you have about any of our podcasts, anything we cover, any future games, any purchases that you have, or anything just in general, family gaming wise, and that covers our, M titles also, I would say go ahead and just reach us through social media. You can reach us on the hashtag AskFGR, and that could be on all platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We're not on Plenty of Fish. So other than that, I think we're done for this week, Cam. What do you think?
I think it's the week's going by quickly.
It is. It's a holiday weekend. So if you're listening to this during the Memorial Day weekend, be safe. It's the start of summer.
You missed it. It was another racing pun. Get it?
Jesus, you're a funny one, unicorn. But any case, guys, I want you guys to have fun in your gaming. It's the start of summer. Remember, 60 minutes of exercise every day, and you can game as much as you want, and you have the best of both worlds. Wow, did that not come out right, but that's okay.
Everyone, just have a safe and wonderful weekend.
Yes, thank you so much for listening, guys, and you guys take care.